This business of being unkind to the poor and people in that category seems to crop up in different places throughout Scripture. It's just as though the elite were having a good time and looking down on so many people and not being, shall we say, Christian in their outlook.
Yes.
For me, I feel like when he said in verse 6, when you eat and when you drink, do you not eat and drink for yourselves? Like as if the Lord was really, really, really upset with them. And it's true. For me, it makes no sense when you fast and pray that you're fasting and praying for yourselves rather than for the glory of God. But I'm sure I might have done that at some stage in my life. You know? Who knows?
In a sense, we don't know, but I think this is more specific. I like this too now. The word of the Lord came to Zachariah. You know, it's like almost, I don't know whether he hears it from the Holy Spirit or somebody came and told him. When he's not clear, see, the word of the Lord, the fourth year of King Darius, it came to pass, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the fourth day of the ninth month of Chislev. I forgot to look at Chislev, what it means. But I was looking at some commentary. In this book it says, in the month of December, a delegation from Bethel came to Jerusalem with some question about fasting, especially those commemorating the destruction of Jerusalem. You know, so it's like the Jews were remembering. You know, like I suppose sometimes you fast as a thanksgiving for some healing or something as well, or for something that, I don't know, pain, this kind of thing, you know, turmoil. And this one is especially commemorating the destruction of Jerusalem. Zachariah's answer to their question contain timeless spiritual principles. He first asks about the purpose of fasting, which is in verse 5. That's where he said, say to all the people of the land and to the priest, when you fast and mourn in the fifth and seventh month during those 70 years, did you really fast for me? For me? You know, it's like a question on, I don't know, what were they fasting for? You know, did you fast for me? So was this for me an appeal? God wanted them to fast an appeal to God for the situation? Because here it says, on the fourth day, another comment, December the 4th, 518 BC. I don't know how they were for December, but a delegation came to Jerusalem with a question about fasting. At this point, the temple was somewhere around halfway completed. So, if you remember when we did Ezra in the quarterly, and they were going back to rebuild the temple. So whether they were treating that like an anniversary or a remembrance. But so whether the fasting was just like a party, you know, whether the fasting was meaningful, I don't know.
Sometimes it seems like it's a fasting of a, how can I say, like an appointed fast.
Yeah.
Or like it was a traditional thing. And I suppose it can be like Easter here. where it's all about the eggs and it's all about the bunnies. Instead of it being holy and acceptable to the Lord. And then I think my point was that if you do something like as a tradition, as a ritual, you can sort of lose the significance at some point.
Yes, I was thinking of that as well. It kind of make us think, no? Well, make me think. Everything we do, we have to be very mindful that it's done for the Lord, not as a habit. And then we got, there's a reference for Isaiah 58, verse 1 to 9. We talk about fasting that pleases God. Isaiah 58, verses 1 to 9.
I'm good. Isaiah 66, is it?
No, 58.
58.
Verse 1 to 9. To talk about fasting that pleases God.
Yeah.
You don't have to read it for anyone, please.
Okay, so we've got Isaiah 58, 1 to 9. It says, true fasting is the heading. Shout it aloud, do not hold back, raise your voice like a trumpet, declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? It is only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes. Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Verse 6, is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, when you see the naked to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Verse 8, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. That's helpful, isn't it?
What do you think?
You know what? I actually was thinking at that time that the Muslims really know how to fast. They go out and they give to the poor when they're fasting. And they do, like, okay, I know they fast. They don't fast from morning till night because they get up and eat in the morning. But the true spirit of the fast,
does make you think, no?
I think I was reading something in the AFM magazine about one of the pillars of Islam and this business. If they don't fast, then they've got to make up for it in some other way by perhaps helping the poor more, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Their focus is a lot on giving.
But the question is, is it just the giving? Is the fasting? Because you said here, yeah, what have you fasted for me? Fasted for the Lord. So it's like a requirement for God first, and then action second. You know.
The deep meaning in Isaiah.
Yeah.
to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free. So it's like they fast, and that's what the results are, isn't it?
Yeah, you should fast.
What's the aim of fasting?
You will not fast as you did instead, to make your voice heard on high. Is the fast that I have chosen? Is it the fast that I have chosen? A day for man to afflict his soul, and it is to bow down his head like a bulrush, to spread the sackcloth. I'm just thinking whether it's Joel or Micah. They said also, oh man, do what is good.
We have to realize here that this is Zechariah talking to the people of Israel, right? That's the chosen people of God. So if we consider ourselves the chosen people of God, this is where we have to review the way the fasting. Here it says, obedience better than fasting. So if we are fasting as a routine, you know, like that you say, some time of the year is a feast and a fast for 7 days or for whatever, that's the wrong one. The one that is talking here, we fast to communicate with God, to bring the communication and obey what he's telling us. You know, you can hear him. Fast that we take everything for the world out and allow only God to be there. Don't let anything distract, not even food.
There's a comment here. Zechariah's answer to their question about fasting, that it contained timeless spiritual principles. He first asked about the purpose of fasting, which is in verse 5. Say all the people of the land to the priest, when you fasted and mourned, did you really fast for me? That was it. So, did the judgment not come to Judah because of sins of idolatry? Did justice regulate social relationship in the community? What about loving kindness mandated by the covenant between God and Israel? The absence of these two virtues have led to the breakdown of social order. And I was thinking, like, even now we have the breakdown of social order. If you think about it. I was going to say, whether, like, as an example, you could say even this country, like, if it was a government, she calls for a fast and prayer to get the country back on its feet. From a social justice point of view.
But the problem in the country at the moment is that the loyalties are divided. Even if they pray, who are they praying to?
Oh, that's true.
So, in Romans chapter 14, verse 5 onward, it says, he who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for the Lord God, for he gives God thanks, and he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. For none of us lives for him to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live to the Lord, and if we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's.
So there's a lot of focus on the relationship with God with this fasting, besides everything else.
Mm.
And he said here, the absence of those two virtues have led to the breakdown of social order, with those with power as exploited widows, orphans, and foreigners. Such key moral issues should occupy the mind of those who fought, because the nation came to an end because God's people had rejected such imperatives. I never look at the history of Israel in relation to fasting. I don't know if it says much from the children of Israel, or whether fasting came more in the New Testament.
I think that it is in the Old Testament, because what instituted the... My other Bible is not here, it's upstairs. It gives an idea of when the people of Israel goes out to fast. Fast and pray. This is during the time of Moses, during the time of all those times. The fasting and the praying and prayer, everything, it's to forget about yourself, to hear God, to see God. That's a main issue of it. Because we are so caught up with what goes on around the world, that even those fasting become something like a routine, like a feast, that they don't see God in there. And that's what the comment is. What they see. This is the day of our fasting. What month? 7 months, 8 months, or whatever it is said there. And we go and we fast. We are obeying the law, but we are not seeing God in the law.
I think also, I don't know whether I'm reading that here. You know, in Isaiah 1:16-19, it says, "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." And I'm thinking, you are asking what the point of fasting is.
Mm.
I think fasting is also a cleansing of our these temples, because we're not putting anything in.
Mm.
So our bodies are sort of empty and has a sort of a cleansing function, and then the Holy Spirit is filling that emptiness.
Mm.
So everything that the Holy Spirit does, the cleansing, the the transforming, whatever he does in us, then is what the fast is all about. It's about us and him. It's not about anything else.
So there'll be like three things, I suppose. The fasting, the quality, and the purpose. So anybody can fast, but is understanding the purpose of why we fast. Because it said here, the present generation should learn life lessons from the stubbornness of their predecessor. God's Spirit has moved the prophet who spoke in past history, verse 12. Tragically, the leader and the people turn a deaf ear to divine instruction. That's why they have been scattered into captivity and their beautiful land devastated. So that's clearly of the children of Israel, you know. So turn a deaf ear to divine instruction. In the fasting. Tragically, the leaders and the people here. That's why they have been scattered here. The present custom of fasting must take into consideration such reality. That's what we have to think. But Yes, punishment and destruction are never the end of God, the end of God's history. The Lord's deep feeling for his people manifests themselves as holy jealousy and zeal. Thus he announces his return to Jerusalem, the city he has always intended to be the dwelling place of righteousness and faithfulness. But it wasn't, because how often the Christ said, oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I've called you and tried to bring you together like a hen over his cheek, or some expression like this. You know? So, they may have fasted, but not, maybe not according to the way God wanted them to fast. Then God wanted us to fast. In that context.
They believe in the fasting, they don't believe in God.
Yeah, because that's why he said to be obedient is better than to fast. So, so in other words, don't fast if you're not obeying me.
Yes.
You see, nowadays, we do our fasting. But there's a aim between that fasting. There's a point. We are fasting and we are praying for. That's why we have all the requests, you see? Somebody is very ill. We fast and we pray. In other words, we take ourselves away from the world. We be just in front of God. And we plead with God for the healing or for the for whatever is going on. So you give the whole lot, because we believe that God feeds us.
And then it said, I don't know, verse 14 said, but I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations, which they had not known. Thus the land became desolate after them, so that no one passed through or returned, for they made pleasant the land desolate. I didn't quite understand it.
What are you reading?
The same Zechariah chapter 7, the last verse.
Oh.
But then there is a reference, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 27.
I'm sure there's somewhere in the Old Testament where there is an example. Might be in the New Testament too. Of the disciple, yes, it is in the New Testament, of the disciple fasting.
Mm. Yeah, I think there is, you're right. So, Deuteronomy, just talk about so much about the land. 4:27 talk about
4:27 or 7?
27.
Oh.
And then 28:64.
Which book?
Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 27.
Which says, and the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and he shall be left few in number amongst the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. Mm. Basically, obedience also means God will look after your land, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Because I think he did promise when they were coming out of Egypt, if you obey my commandment, I will give you this and that.
Mm.
You know, if you remember.
But it does say at the end of the last line of that verse in Zechariah 7, it says, for they made the pleasant land desolate. Mm. Thus the land became desolate after them, so that no one passed through or returned. So their actions caused the land to be pleasant.
Mm.
unpleasant. Huh?
Yes, but they are not. But they're disobedient, I suppose.
Reminds me of South Africa now. When our parents were younger, they used to say South Africa was the land of milk and honey. Now, there's a lot of nonsense going on there.
Because there it says that tragically the leaders and the people turned a deaf ear to divine instruction. So they were fasting according to themselves, what they think they should do. That was why they had been scattered into captivity and their beautiful land devastated.
Mm.
When they captured, they went into Babylon, into captivity, I guess.
Yeah, Babylon says, yeah.
Yet punishment and destruction are never the end of God's history. The Lord's deep feeling for his people manifests themselves as a holy and jealous God, zeal, holy jealousy and zeal. Then he announces the return to Jerusalem, which is said that. And he said, I remember Sorin preached on this, but I can't remember what he said. But he said, Jerusalem will again be called faithful city and holy mountain. God's relationship will be restored in righteousness and justice. His promise will define what is possible to believe. When the new day dawns, the city street will flow with people of long life. Children playing on the street will be a sign of blessed family. The Lord will save his people from sin and all. After the renewal of covenant, God will call them again, my people. So, it is a promise, but I still get, is this understanding this fasting of what we fast and what God expects is a question, I think, for me anyway. No. Did you fast for me, or did you fast for yourself, for ourselves?
So how can we fast for ourselves then?
Well, like you were saying, it helps your body, but there may not be any spiritual significance. So you've got to consider every aspect of fasting as to why you're doing it. And even if you're not doing it for God, it could be good for you. But if you can do it for God, then you may find you have unseen blessings come upon you.
And then also, I suppose you could only be fasting for specific prayers to be answered, material stuff, or...
Well, it may be that God has something to reveal to you, and you're better off able to receive it if you've had a period of fasting. I mean, I can't speak from experience here, but it sounds like a good theory.
I remember, that's why maybe the example, Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights before he started his mission. And what was his mission? Actually, to bring justice, to relieve the oppressed, to go in the summit of the mount. Then it makes sense, you know.
That also shows that in times of extremity, that you could still got to stand by principle, like when he said, you know, it is written, thou shalt not, you know, about the bread, you know.
Yes. So
man shall not live by bread alone. That one.
So it is a lesson for us as well as for the Israelis then. Yeah. But it's very interesting how in that, where was it? In verse 12, the adamant stone, you know, you can have your attitude closed so completely that you don't benefit from it.
That's right, yeah. I guess I was thinking about our own fasting from time to time.
So, you know, okay, I don't know if this is completely out of context or not, but you know, I forgot that man's name, that king that where the finger wrote on the wall many, many tekels.
Oh, yes, yes. In the kings of Paris where they were feasting.
King, is it not Darius? It was something with the B, right?
The first and then we can.
No, B, something with the B. And when he, so they were really off the wrong track because they, something happened to them after that. Did they die? Or something happened after that to them? Because they were partying and, so basically the interpretation read that he was found wanting by the Lord. And so they, but they were partying, they were not fasting.
That's the thing.
But I can't remember if that, whatever happened was during a, you know, supposedly a holy festival. But all of those holy festivals in the wrong kings would have lost, under the wrong kings would have lost, completely lost their meanings as well, isn't it?
Because well, it can
this,
be,
this
yes.
was a heathen king, wasn't it, though? This was in where Daniel was in exile serving the king because he was found to be suitable to do that. And he was the one who was called to interpret many, many tekel ufarsin, you know. Your weight in the balances and found wanting.
Found wanting, yeah.
That's right, yeah.
So, could we say the same for these people in Zechariah chapter 7? Like, because then the Lord was still willing to reason with them, isn't it? In in Zechariah chapter 7.
I mean, it's clearly they were fasting in the first place. It's not that they were not fasting.
Yeah.
You know, but the quality and purpose was a question of God.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, but when he issued those words to say many, many, many tekels, something, something, the judgment had already been passed by God.
That's right.
Whereas here in chapter 7, there's no judgment being passed, but he is trying to reason with them. Isn't it?
Yes, yes, that's true. You got the point. Yeah. I see what you mean.
But in the same way as God kept on sending the prophets with their messages, it's good that in this day and age the gospel continues to be preached, even if it's not accepted by the many.
I'm just looking at it down in verse 4. There's a reference, it doesn't talk about fasting, but it says in Zechariah chapter 1 verse 4, call to repentance. Do not be like your fathers, to whom the former prophets preached, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, turn now from your evil ways and your evil deeds. But they did not hear nor heed me, says the Lord. So this not hearing, this refusal to hear, is nothing uncommon among the children of Israel. Seems to be a repeat. So almost everything they did, they worship God, but their own way. That's what I'm getting it. They fast for their own purpose. Not fast because Christ said to fast. Specific, you know. Because there is a little note, that's my Lord, prophet and king. Zechariah chapter 7 verse 8. By the Babylonish captivity, the Israelites were effectually cured of the worship of graven images. So they were worshipping God then. After their return, they gave much attention to religious instruction and to the study of that which had been written in the book of the law and in the prophets. concerning worship of the true God. The restoration of the temple enabled them to carry out fully the ritual services of the sanctuary under the leadership of Zerubbabel, of Ezra, and of Nehemiah. They repeatedly covenanted to keep all the commandments and ordinances of Jehovah. The season of prosperity followed gave ample evidence of God's willingness to accept and forgive. And yet, with their fatal short-sightedness, they turn again and again from their glorious destiny and selfish appropriated to themselves that which would have been brought healing and spiritual life to the countless multitude. So there's this kind of constant disobedience in the thread of it all.
It says, Sister White says in Testimonies, they stop their ears, and it reminds me when Stephen, the deacon, was speaking, and they didn't want to hear, did they? I mean, he was speaking the truth to them, but...
That's right, yeah, when they were stoning him, they just... It's very interesting, though, because I didn't look at fasting from that point of view, but I haven't read it there, you know?
But then again, we have a positive experience of fasting.
Yes.
You are missing it, for example, you know, and missing the blessing that came into our lives because of it. But it's scary to know that one day God will say to people, I don't accept your fast, you know?
Yeah, it is scary. Mm-hmm. It does make you think and rethink, really, about I'm talking about spiritual things, even the Sabbath then. Think about the Sabbath or the fasting, the togetherness.
Mm.
You know, is it for the glory of God or just for our own?
Because the two thieves on the cross were both Jewish as well, isn't it?
I think so.
And the one was willing to accept Christ and the other wasn't.
Wasn't.
Died and saved.
Okay. I don't know. I have to reread it again. I think it's almost like maybe we're reading chapter 8 next week will make more sense.
Mm.
Yeah. And his followers. Probably should be like reading 6, 7, and 8 together. This might lead them back.
Well, we could always refer back if necessary, yeah.
Yes. I just thought when I was reading, I read it about 3 times already. And when I was reading it again a bit earlier on, and I thought maybe the 3...
I remember when we were doing the lay preaching course, they did say that if we read like a couple of chapters together, it gives you a bit more insight into the
question. That's true. Yeah.